I'd like now to welcome Yolanda Cruz. She is Health Councils and Community Coordinator at the Health Equity Partnership at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. And the Santa Fe Community Foundation is one of the sponsors of the film Feeding Frenzy, which screens tomorrow night at the Community College. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what is the Health Equity Partnership?
The Health Equity Partnership is an initiative that's funded under the Kellogg Foundation. And so we're housed at the Santa Fe Community Foundation, and we really look at how to help communities in New Mexico build health equity by looking at policy and other long-term and upstream activities and strategies.
What do you mean by health equity?
So health equity is really helping people, no matter your race, where you live, socioeconomic, creed, color, all of those things, helping people be able to reach their maximum, their best health possible. And so if you look at the health of a certain population and even broken down into like geographical areas, you'll see that some people have poorer health outcomes than others. And so there's a lot of research and data to say, well, you know, income, of course, if you have higher income, you're going to have higher health. Better health outcomes because you may go to the doctor more regularly, you may have better preventative care, you know, all of these other things. But then if you look deeper and ask, well, why are these health problems or health outcomes existing within a certain population or geographical area, then you can start to see other conditions in the community that are affecting a population's health.
When you look at the map of New Mexico, what does it look like in terms of good and not so good health?
Well, I think one of the things is that we are always at the bottom of the list in New Mexico, right? If you look at the whole state of New Mexico, traditionally we've been at the bottom of the list with teen pregnancy, anything around children, right? Childhood hunger, education, early childhood care, all of those things really are going to help shape the health of a person as a person grows older. So the health of a person doesn't just begin once they're 12 years old or 5 years old or when they're born. The health of a person really begins before that. And so a lot of times, you know, society puts the health of a person directly on that person. The burden of health is on the person.
Right.
To say, you need to eat better, you need to exercise more, you need to do X, Y, and Z so that you can become healthier. But when we look at the conditions that exist, say if you're in a rural area and you don't have access to maybe healthy foods or a grocery store, and so you might have to travel 30, 45 miles to get fresh foods, and there's no may or may not be public transportation, so how are you going to access those? Then that becomes an issue. Also, when we limit, you know, the educational opportunities, the workforce opportunities, those also will come into play with how a person's health outcomes are shaped throughout their life.
And so in New Mexico, we have, I mean, there's income, people who have higher incomes tend to be doing better health-wise.
Yes, and there are studies that have been done that show that throughout not just New Mexico, but throughout the world, that if you have a higher income, your health is going to be better. And part of that comes because of stress. Stress is a big indicator of how well your health is and how long you'll live. But also if you look into some communities, and it doesn't just have to be like city to city or town to town, but you can even look down into neighborhood level areas and see that neighborhoods who have less economic opportunity there, they usually have less less access to healthy foods as well, right? So they have like more fast food restaurants. They may have more alcohol stores or outlets than other areas in town. So those, of course, are going to also contribute to poor health outcomes in that area.
And so here you are going around New Mexico, observing this, studying it. What are you doing? How do you start to counteract that and try to get better health among people in New Mexicans who are struggling the most?
So we have three tools in the Health Equity Partnership, and one of those is Place Matters, and that is a Kellogg brand, and there are 19 Place Matters teams in the United States, Four of those are now in New Mexico through this grant through Kellogg. So one is in Bernalillo County, and that one has been in existence since before this grant came into place. And then we were able to expand to have a Place Matters team in Doña Ana County, McKinley Community, and San Juan Community up by Farmington. So each of those Place Matters teams are, the core team members are people from the community, and they also have a paid coordinator on staff. So they really try to engage the community to look at what are the problems that exist, and then not just how do we put together a program to address those, but how do we look at the root causes? What are the social conditions, the economic conditions, the environmental conditions that are contributing to this problem, and how then do they work together to combat that?
And so you look at a place and you say there's poverty, maybe they're at the bust end of a boom-bust economic cycle. What next?
So that team then will choose a priority area that's affecting their community, and then they are assisted with the Health Equity Partnership, and then with our national partners as well, to look to come up with a strategic plan on how then to combat that. They also will do a health impact assessment, which is a second part of the Health Equity Partnership. We have been granted up to 10 health impact assessments throughout New Mexico. So all of the Place Matters teams will work on a health impact assessment, and they will get training and technical assistance from one of our national partners, Human Impact Partners in California. So they will come and do a training and help that community then identify a upcoming policy or decision that's going to be made in that priority area, and help them tie health into that decision making.
What does that look like in terms of a concrete example?
Okay, so for example, in Bernalillo County, one of the things that community has done is there was a community group that found out that there was going to be a recycling plant built in their community. And this is already a community that struggles with income barriers and has a lot of health inequities there. And so this was going to be built, and they really hadn't had an opportunity to have any input in this. And then the county really thought, well, this is a good thing for our community because it's bringing jobs, it's bringing economic opportunity, you know, we're kind of building these things that people need. But they weren't considering health in that decision. And so when the community came together and joined with the Place Matters team and were able to do a health impact assessment on there, then they were able to do other studies like how many trucks or vehicles will be passing through the community. Is that going to affect maybe street safety for the kids or people in there? What about asthma rates? They saw that community has really high asthma rates because of the industry that's already there, and this would contribute to that problem as well. And then they also were able to get the schools involved because one of the routes where the traffic would be going would be right in front of an elementary school. They also were able to get other business involved because there was a food warehouse that had just opened up across the street from where this proposed recycling plant was going to be put. And so they were concerned about, you know, insects, bugs, mice, and other animals that might be at that recycling plant and then go to the warehouse where they were storing food. Even though they were proposing that this would bring in more jobs, the jobs that would be brought in would be really low income jobs. And so some of the higher wage jobs would be brought in from other communities or other areas. And so that wasn't really going to help develop anything better for this community. In the long run, it was going to have a lot of impacts that were negative on this community in particular. And so they were able to take that health impact assessment to their policymakers and fight that being put in their community.
And they won?
Yes, they did.
It's an interesting process because in the process, the community learns all of these skills of assessing what's good and bad for them. And not only can they prevent something bad, but maybe after that, I mean, what happens next? Does that process help them get ideas for healthier economic development?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of technical assistance, as I said, that's brought in. But really, we aren't the experts on what's going on in a specific community. The community members are. So these tools really help people become engaged in how to make positive change and be empowered to create those changes and conversations in their communities so that they then become their own voice. And they're able to apply those tools and strategies to other things as well. So the Bernalillo Place Matters team has moved on to do, they're now working on another health impact assessment. And I think they're kind of looking forward as to what may be in the future. And so all of the Place Matters teams are working on a health impact assessment, but we also have 6 other opportunities throughout New Mexico for other groups to do health impact assessments as well. And so we try, my job in particular is to try and link health councils to the work of Place Matters teams and health impact assessments and to help provide some of those tools across New Mexico. So it's not just limited to maybe those 4 Place Matters sites or the 10 health impact assessment sites, but really how do we help bring those tools and strategies and awareness and knowledge throughout New Mexico so that then our capacity is increased to address these, right? And so not just me from Santa Fe Community Foundation or not just somebody from the Department of Health, but really the community members who are living with these conditions every day.
So do you see some other examples that you could tell us of real improvement?
Definitely. I think that, you know, people being empowered to work on what is important to them and their communities, of course, that takes time. So there's not really going to be a huge shift or change within 1 year or 2 years or sometimes even 3 years. But Doña Ana, for example, even though they haven't chosen their priority area or worked on a health impact assessment as yet, they are really doing a lot of work in community engagement. And so they've seen that there's a really readiness factor with the county policymakers to include all of the non-incorporated parts of the county into a larger strategic plan. Because when they're doing planning, sometimes a lot of areas or more rural areas or poorer areas are left out of that planning. So they're trying to do a really comprehensive plan that includes transportation, economic development, and really bringing the voice of the communities in, including the immigrant communities who are often left out of such decision-making. So those conversations are happening right now in Doña Ana County through the Ocotillo Institute and other partners. And so it's not just, you know, Health Equity Partnership, but the partners in each local community who are doing this.
And it just underlines the fact that people's lives are so deeply affected by policy, and the more they're involved in it, the better chance they have.
Definitely, and I think that sometimes we as community members say, oh, well, this is the way things are, and things aren't going to change, and or we ask somebody else as a policymaker, these are our problems, what are you going to do to change them? And so we really try to shift that around to say, what are your problems, how can we work together to change those, and how can you be involved in that process?
One of the things that's interesting about the work that you are doing is you're looking not only at one policy like food, and we talked about food in Feeding Frenzy, but there's a lot of other questions about the infrastructure of people's lives which relate to each other.
Definitely. You can't really silo out one thing, just like you can't silo out one part of your body and say, okay, well, if I do this, this is going to make my eye healthier. We're a whole person and we have a whole community, and so we need to look at all of the policies that affect that. So when you're looking at food policy and equity to having healthy foods, and you think about a community that you live in, and so what makes a really vibrant community? To me, a vibrant community is when you can go through a community and there are people, you know, maybe walking or riding bikes, maybe there's some activity going on the streets, right? Maybe food vendors selling a variety of foods. But you look into most of our communities today and that doesn't happen. So residential communities are pretty much just residential. There are, in some of the more recent planning efforts, there are maybe local planning shopping centers that are located near those residential areas. But they're really kind of a little bit separate and enclosed. So how do people then access those? And are those accessible by people maybe in the lower income areas of the communities? So if a neighborhood has lower income, how are they then accessing stores that have healthier foods? Is there safe places for their kids to play or ride the bikes? Are there safe places to go outside? Do they have good lighting? And or are the streets mainly built for car transportation? And so when we look at those issues around food justice, that creates an injustice then, right? Because people don't have equal access to healthy foods or to safe places to have physical activity. And if we look at maybe land use policies and transportation policies in partnership with the food policies, with food justice policies, then we can look at if you have healthy food that's accessible. So farmers maybe, there are a lot of local farmers who don't use all of these pesticides and who are using healthier ways to grow their foods. But in order to become certified by the USDA, there's a lot of expense and a lot of paperwork and things that they may not be able to have the capacity to do. So they can't really label their food as, you know, as healthier options for people. So if we look at policies that are created that are keeping local farmers from marketing their food in a healthy manner so that we know what actually we're putting into our bodies, then if we address those policies, then we can create a little bit more food justice so that when we go out to look for foods to buy, we have knowledge and awareness of what we're buying. Also, schools and restaurants and other places, if there are policies put into place that make it easier for them to buy foods from local areas. I know a lot of restaurants are doing that now, but there's still a huge policy issue in schools being able to do that. Even though there's a movement towards it, it's really difficult and expensive for farmers to get their foods to the schools. And so kids aren't really getting the opportunity to have food that might be healthier for them that's grown more locally. So if we look at those policies together and then look at maybe the transportation policies, is there public transportation available to people so that they can access some of these places? And also, how do we plan our streets and our roads so that there is access for vendors to be on the sidewalk so that we do create these places for people to go out and have this activity in their community and not just have to drive 5 miles away, 10 miles away, 30 miles away to access those. So when policies are put into place that really support those types of things, then we can reduce food prices and we can also reduce the need for oil, which also can reduce food prices.
Yolanda Cruz is Health Councils and Community Coordinator at the Health Equity Partnership at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we will see you tomorrow night at the screening of Feeding Frenzy.
Yes, we're really excited about that, to have that opportunity to have that here in Santa Fe.
And by the way, that's a free event.